Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine you're trying to build something completely new. Maybe something that's never existed before could be a breakthrough invention, a revolutionary business model, or even like a healthier habit.
Right.
How do you even begin? I mean, most of us, we start by looking at what others have done, right? By iterating on existing solutions.
That's the standard approach, yeah. Building on what's there.
But what if you could just, strip away all those assumptions, all those existing ideas, and just build from scratch, from the absolute foundational truths?
That right there is the essence of thinking from first principles. It's a really powerful approach to problem solving, innovation, and honestly, just deeply understanding the world around you.
Exactly. And today we're taking a deep dive into this fascinating concept of first principles. We've pulled together your sources, specifically looking at a comprehensive Wikipedia article on the subject. It's packed with incredible historical context, philosophical definitions, and some surprising scientific applications too.
Yeah, our mission for this deep dive isn't just to define what a first principle is, but really explore its profound journey. I mean, it goes way back to ancient Greek thought through these pivotal philosophical shifts right up to its modern day application in fields like physics and even things like entrepreneurship will help you spot those, aha moments and understand why this way of thinking is so crucial for truly gaining knowledge quickly and thoroughly, not just like memorizing facts.
And you might think this sounds all very abstract, maybe purely philosophical, but here's where it gets really interesting. We're going to see how thinking from first principles has actually been a foundational tool for millennia,
Absolutely.
used by, well, everyone from ancient philosophers, guys wrestling with the nature of reality, to modern innovators like, say, Elon Musk, who talks about it a lot.
He certainly does.
So, what does this all mean for you, for how you approach challenges? Let's start with the basic proposition, because understanding that is kind of our own first principle for this deep dive.
Okay. So at its core, a first principle is basically a proposition or assumption that simply cannot be deduced from any other proposition or assumption, at least not within a given system.
Okay, so it's the bedrock, the starting point.
Exactly. Think of it like a fundamental axiom. In mathematics and formal logic, these are literally called axioms or postulates. Euclid's Elements is the classic example here.
Oh, yeah, high school geometry.
Right, and it's hundreds of geometric propositions. They all derive from just a small set of definitions and postulates. Those were his first principles.
I see.
But this isn't just about math. It's really about getting to the undeniable core of any idea or system.
So it's not about making assumptions based on, well, other assumptions. It's about finding the unshakable foundation. And what's fascinating is how far back this idea goes, right?
Yeah, way back. In ancient Greek philosophy, a first principle is called an arche,
Archie.
which literally meant beginning, origin, or source of action. But it also carried meanings like first place or even method of government. The arch was considered the ultimate underlying substance
The fundamental stuff.
or the ultimate indemonstrable principle,
Okay.
something you couldn't prove from something else because it was the first thing.
Right. And these early Greek thinkers, the Milesians, they were the first ones to systematically search for this single fundamental thing, this arch.
Exactly. They were looking for the one underlying substance or principle that everything else came from. This was their version of first principles thinking, finding the simplest, deepest explanation for the whole universe.
So, like Thales, he thought it was water.
He did. Thales, often called the first philosopher, proposed water was the arch. Now, the insight here isn't really whether he was right about water.
Probably not.
Probably not, no. But it's that Thales initiated the rigorous search for a single fundamental origin, a unifying theory for everything. That was the breakthrough.
So it's about asking, what's the absolute base layer? What's the one thing that everything else is built upon?
Precisely.
And then you have Anaximander, his student, who kind of challenged that.
He did. He looked at water and said, well, hang on. Water can't explain its opposite, like fire.
Ah,
Because he
okay.
proposed something different, the aprion, this indefinite, boundless sort of primordial substance.
It's like he was already doing first principles thinking on Thales's first principle, deconstructing the first principle itself.
Exactly. He wasn't just accepting the prevailing wisdom, he was breaking it down and trying to find an even more fundamental truth underneath. These early thinkers were grappling with these foundational questions. But it was really Aristotle who truly systematized this whole pursuit. He gave us a much clearer framework for identifying first principles.
Aristotle
Well,
always pops up. What did he add to this conversation? How did he frame it?
well, Stepping back a bit, Aristotle's genius here was how he explained that in any systematic inquiry, whether it's science, philosophy, whatever true knowledge, comes from acquiring knowledge of the primary causes, the primary first principles, all the way down to the elements.
Okay, so knowing the why behind the why.
Kind of, yeah. For him, a first principle was the first basis from which a thing is known. And it was actually a necessary condition for that thing's existence. It wasn't just abstract philosophy for him. He saw this applying to understanding biology, weather patterns, even history.
Wow.
He really cemented the idea that philosophy's main job, its primary task, is to figure out these fundamental first principles.
So we go from the Greeks searching for the universe's primordial soup, basically, to Aristotle giving us a kind of blueprint for scientific inquiry based on finding these core truths. That's a huge leap.
It really is.
And then we jump forward quite a bit to Descartes. Right?
How does he fit in? Absolutely. Fast forward centuries to modern philosophy, and you see René Descartes. He was profoundly influenced by Euclid's geometric method, you know, the one we mentioned with axioms and postulates.
Right, the logical structure.
Exactly. Descartes, being a rationalist, basically invented foundationalist philosophy. He did this using his method of doubt, sometimes called Cartesian doubt.
And that's where his super famous phrase, "I think, therefore I am," comes in, isn't it? How did that become his undeniable starting point, his first principle?
Precisely. He systematically doubted everything. I mean, everything, all sensory experience, all the assumptions he held, everything he read, until he was left only with purely indubitable truths, things he simply couldn't doubt.
Okay.
And his most famous one, "Je pense donc je suis," or "I think, therefore I am," became his absolute first principle.
The one thing he couldn't doubt away.
Right. He described principles as needing two conditions. First, they have to be so clear and evident that your mind just cannot doubt their truth when you consider them carefully.
Okay. Self-evident.
And second, the knowledge of other things must be so dependent on them that you can't know those other things without first knowing the principles.
Yeah.
But you can know the principles without knowing the other things.
Unidirectional dependence.
Exactly. And from this one self-evident proposition, "I think, therefore I am," he meticulously, step by step, deduced his entire body of knowledge, or at least attempted to.
That sounds incredibly powerful. I mean, stripping away absolutely everything until you're left with pure certainty. But is it really possible to strip everything away? Doesn't even saying "I think" rely on some implicit assumptions about what thinking means or what "I" means?
That is an excellent question. And honestly, philosophers have been debating that for centuries.
Okay, good. It wasn't just me then.
Not at all. The key takeaway isn't necessarily that Descartes found the absolute, final, ultimate truth for all time. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But his method,
the process.
Yes, the process of radical doubt leading to an indubitable starting point that provided a new and incredibly rigorous way to approach knowledge. It's the method that's the powerful takeaway here, not just his specific conclusion. And this whole concept, it extends far beyond philosophy, right into modern science.
Fascinating. Okay, so how does this idea of stripping things back to their core show up in, say, physics? You mentioned science earlier.
Right. In physics, when a calculation is said to be from first principles, or sometimes you'll hear the Latin ab initio.
Ab initio, okay. From the beginning.
Exactly. It means it starts directly at the level of established fundamental laws of physics. No fudging, no intermediate models based on experiment.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Imagine you're trying to predict how a completely new material will behave at strength, its conductivity, whatever. An ab initio approach would mean you start with the really fundamental laws governing how atoms and electrons interact.
Like quantum mechanics.
Precisely. Like the Schrodinger equation, or density functional theory. You calculate everything from that fundamental level up without using any pre-existing experimental data on similar materials, or relying on rules of thumb to make your model fit what you expect.
So it's like building a house from the absolute raw elements, sand, cement, water, steel beams, rather than using, say, prefabricated walls or floor sections that already have assumptions built into them?
That's a great analogy, yes. It's building from the fundamental atoms of the system, metaphorically speaking, not relying on any approximations or empirical models derived from past observations.
That sounds incredibly difficult and computationally intensive.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's very challenging. But it allows for true breakthroughs because you're not constrained by previous assumptions or limited by the scope of existing data. Mm-hmm. You could potentially predict things no one's ever seen before.
And this isn't just for physicists and labs, right? You mentioned innovators using this.
Definitely. This first principles thinking is being actively used by innovators today, people trying to tackle seemingly impossible problems in various fields.
Okay, so we've journeyed from these ancient philosophical quests for the arch, the universe's ultimate origin, through Descartes' radical doubt, landing on, I think, therefore I am, and now we're at ab initio calculations in physics. Quite the trip.
It is.
But how does this apply to, well, us? To our daily lives, or maybe the challenges we face in our jobs, or even just personal growth?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm.
And that's where the real power lies for you, the listener.
Mm.
Think about something complex you might be facing. Maybe a tough decision at work, a tricky project, or even something personal like trying to break a bad habit.
Okay.
Most of us, most of the time, approach these problems by analogy. We think, how did I solve something kind of similar before? Or what did so-and-so do in this situation?
Right, pattern matching, which is useful sometimes.
It is useful, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it can also trap you in old ways of thinking, just iterating on existing solutions, maybe making incremental improvements at best.
So first principles thinking would be what? To ignore what's worked before just for a moment and ask something different.
Essentially, yes. You decompose the problem, break it down into its most fundamental truths or components, like you're trying to explain it to an alien who knows nothing about our assumptions.
Okay, give me an example.
All right. Let's say you're trying to innovate a product. Instead of thinking, how can I make a better version of X, like a better phone?
Yeah.
You'd ask, what is the fundamental purpose of communication? What are the absolute core components needed for information transfer between people?
Yeah.
You start from those basics.
Or maybe if you're trying to save money.
Okay, good one. Instead of just looking at your current budget and asking, where can I cut expenses?
Mm-hmm.
You might ask, what are the absolute necessities for my survival and well-being? Water, food, shelter, basic safety. What do I truly need?
And then you'd question everything else. Like, is this expense based on a fundamental need or just an assumption I've made about my needs or wants?
Exactly. You peel back the layers of assumption. It's kind of like asking why five times, like kids do, until you hit something that feels undeniable, something foundational.
That feels like, a game changer.
Yeah.
Because it means you're not just iterating on existing solutions or budgets or habits. You're potentially creating entirely new ones from the ground up.
That's precisely it. It's about stripping away all the assumptions, all the received wisdom, and getting down to the fundamental core. It's the difference, people often say, between trying to build a faster horse versus inventing the automobile. The faster horse is an iteration based on analogy. The automobile comes from thinking about first principles of propulsion, energy, mechanics, and the actual need for transportation.
Wow. Okay. So we've really come a long way in this deep dive. From that watery chaos of ancient cosmogonies and Thales saying it's all water to Descartes and his, I think, therefore, I am emerging from radical doubt. And then these incredibly complex ab initio calculations in physics.
And if we connect all these threads, try to synthesize the core value here. What's really fascinating is how this idea of a first principle, whether you call it an arch or an axiom or an indubitable truth, has consistently served as this ultimate underlying substance or the ultimate indemonstrable starting point for building knowledge across so many diverse fields.
Mm-hmm.
It's fundamentally about stripping away assumptions, cutting through the noise, and getting to the core, the fundamental building blocks.
So this deep dive into first principles, it really isn't just some abstract history lesson or, you know, a philosophical curiosity. It's actually a powerful practical tool.
I think so.
It's about understanding that deep knowledge, real science, and often true innovation, they result from acquiring knowledge of these primary causes and elements, just like Aristotle described thousands of years ago.
And it's worth remembering, it's not always easy to identify those true first principles. As our philosophical journey showed, people can disagree on what's truly fundamental.
Mm.
Descartes, I think, has been debated endlessly.
Right.
And sometimes different people or different fields will find different foundational truths depending on the system they're examining. But the process itself.
The process of searching.
Yes, the process of searching for them, of deconstructing problems, of questioning assumptions. That process is incredibly valuable in itself, even if the ultimate first principle remains elusive.
Okay. So thinking about our listener again, what does this all mean for you and your own challenges? How might applying this first principles thinking, you know, decomposing problems down to their fundamental axioms and then reasoning back up from there. How might that change how you approach learning or problem solving or even just making decisions in your own life?
Yeah.
We hope this deep dive encourages you to maybe peel back a few layers, question what you assume to be true or necessary, and perhaps discover some of your own foundational truths.